One guy asked where all the riffs were.
Yeah.
And I was going to tell him, bend over and I'll show you. But I don't think that was appropriate.
That's a t-shirt. That's a slogan.
Where did the riffs go?
Asternoid. Where did the riffs go?
Bend over and I'll show you.
You're listening to 66.6 FM. Radio TOVH. The Flush.
But I saw the murder, and then I saw you bury the corpse in the backyard.
All right, it's true. I am a murderer. I overwatered Maude's favorite Vikings plant. I panicked, and then I buried the remains. I was hoping to replace it before you got home.
But I heard a woman scream.
Well, now that I can't explain.
About it, Jeep.
Well, hey, everybody, it's Joe Thrashenkill, and the only reason you're hearing my voice is because I am an incredible egotist, and I need to be on this show, even though I'm really not on this one. It's the Toilet of Hell radio show, and today we got a special one. I got Jordan and Brino. Say hey, fellas.
Hey, fellas.
Howdy.
And you're going to be hearing entirely from them going forward in the next, 4 minutes, so soak in the Joe time now. You guys went off and you did a thing. What did you do?
Jordan?
We had a date night.
Oh.
Yeah. Romantic mandate. We expressed our feelings for one another over some very spicy wings.
You guys are wing fiends. What kind of BW sauce did you get?
BW. Oh, Come on.
Okay.
So no spicy manganero?
No, we support local businesses.
That's right.
We stay true to the underground.
True New England fucking hardcore.
And down since day one, we went to a local place by me called Boneheads that is a heavy metal themed chicken wing bar.
That's right.
And I know we actually sat at the Tom Morello's guitar table and had a big laugh about that.
The best one.
It was like powder blue. I think there were like hippos on it and a slice of watermelon with a hammer and sickle on it.
Okay, so not the Arm the Homeless guitar then.
No.
It did say Arm the Homeless though, just in huge letters across the table.
That's fun. So what flavors? You got a dish on that?
Fuck, man. Okay, so I got something. They all got like metal songs, right? For names. So I got Hot for Teacher, which is just like it's like a spicy buffalo. That's all it is. Nothing really remarkable. But then I got this other one. Do you remember what that was called, Jordan?
I think it was Wrong Side of the Road.
Yeah, I think it was Wrong Side of the Road. And they used this really weird pepper sauce I've never tasted before. And they covered it with like a drizzle of this really tangy barbecue sauce. And I fucking... like, it was the most delicious wing I've ever had, and then the spiciest wing I've ever had. So
you've never seen a man have his heart broken while eating something he loved.
Oh, God. I was like, God, this is amazing. Oh, this is so good. I need a hospital right now. God, it was fucking awful.
It sounds like, it's obviously different, but you guys have had, like, Nashville hot chicken, right?
Yes.
Yeah, I don't know if
that's not what this was. This was like chicken wings, but with like drenched in the sauce.
Yeah,
gotcha.
It's not just like fried chicken with spices on it.
Got lost in the sauce, I see.
And tell them about the decorations, the decor, because you were taking pictures of that.
We were seated right next to a signed poster for Stained, and they had a concert ticket. I think it was to the Palladium.
And that was in Springfield, you said, I think.
Oh, fuck, it was in Springfield. That's why I was freaking out. I was like, hey, I'm from that place. That's amazing. Small planet.
So there's also a signed, like, poster magazine cover from someone else that we've talked about on this show before.
Ted Nugent, because that was one of them. Ted fucking Nugent. God, who else? It was all like that. There was just the stupidest, most ignorant, like, rock metal musicians you could think of were just plastered all over the walls.
I expected better of you, boneheads.
They had a signed album cover from Lost Prophets still on the wall.
Oh, yeah.
Nobody wants to, like, maybe take that one down and put it in storage.
Maybe that one's a thinker, guys. Not quite up and up on your news stories.
Wow. Well,
it's a family-friendly place.
Yeah. All ages welcome. Don't email. I'm not even on this episode. I'm fucking it up for you guys. So what was the dinner date in preparation for?
Well, we went to a very intimate live performance, we could call it, at this place called The Met in Pawtucket, Rhode Island. And there we met our good buddy Brett, who is a really pretty singer and a really pretty guitarist from the band Astronoid.
So for folks that might not be familiar, can you give us a word picture of what Astronoid is?
No. You can't give someone a word picture for what Astronoid is, because you need to give them, like, a sky of colors to understand what Astronoid is. And that's probably about as good as I can give you a description.
We actually kind of get into it in the interview.
Oh, we get
about classifying what the band is and how their label Blood Music gave them the moniker or the genre of dream thrash.
Huh.
And kind of get Brett's take on it and dealing with, you know, metal in general, just kind of wanting to pigeonhole everything and create a genre and kind of fit everything into a box, and how it's just kind of whatever, just enjoy the music.
Well, that sounds appealing to me. Is there anything that I can especially look forward to on this episode, things that I am going to need to listen for?
Well, as you can tell from the intro, my nice little themed intro here, we're going to have some takes on The Simpsons. Long running, beloved animated series there.
Never heard of it.
Yeah, probably haven't, but esoteric in its own right. We get into some, like, goofy Japanese video games, and man, we just kind of just, this guy was just like talking to us like we were buddies that haven't seen each other in a long time. He just really spilled his guts.
I've never felt more welcome with someone I've interviewed than with Brett from Astronoid.
Yeah, never in my life. They gave us beer.
They gave you beer. Oh. They offered me beer, and I said, but no, thank you.
They offered us beer, and I drank. I drank from that chalice. Well, what had happened was, and this is the thing with Jordan, every single time I go to a show with this guy, I don't know what it is about this guy, sweetest dude, but everybody's got to start shit with him, or there's some sort of confrontation that involves Jordan in some way. I've never seen a guy just be a magnet for, like, show conflict, like our buddy 365 is here. So
it's because he's too swole.
That's right.
They always want to pick on the swole guy.
That's right. So they tried to fix Jordan's back with acupuncture. They tried to pierce his swole ass body to get the acupuncture just right to fix him up, but it did nothing for him. His back hurts. So the guy's seated in a chair. There were some chairs there and some tables. And he's enjoying the bands that way. One band, which is called She Rides, I assume from somewhere in the Pawtucket or Providence, Rhode Island area. I can only assume because I was there and I just go, whatever. But it's like every time I die, just tribute to the most disgusting degree. These guys are practically an Every Time I Die cover band. I've never seen a more derivative thing in my life. Long story short, or long story less long, the dude in one of his riffy little sessions, the guitarist with the curly mustache and the big sunglasses and the Hawaiian shirt or something like that, stands on the table that Jordan is sitting at and just, like, playing right in his face to, like, give him a hard time probably about the fact that he's sitting for, you know, a performance you should be up and dancing for. So I get a load of Jordan's face, and I chuckle every time I think about it. As I was working today, I just thought about it just dead-eyed, straightforward, not even looking at the guy, not smiling, not snorting, not chuckling, just no sell, is what Jordan said to me yesterday. Just dead straight at the stage, not even flinching as this guy was, like, punching down with his riffing. It was insane.
He's a cool customer, man. You can't crack him.
I'm not going to give anyone satisfaction.
That's what I tell my wife. Hey.
I mean, I knew it was going to happen, too, because the guy had, like, one of those, like, cordless packs or whatever for his guitar and was running around this big venue that had, like, 20 people there. And I was sitting at a table, and there's chairs. I'm like, I know this guy's going to do this. I know he's going to do it. And sure enough, he did. And I just stared right past him.
That is some real Riggs of Dad shit, wearing the cordless pack for a 20-person audience.
20-person audience, one of them having to be, I would assume, their mom, filming the entire set directly in front of the stage.
I got this on phone. I'm going to share the recording. It's on my Instagram. I'll make sure that it gets uploaded elsewhere, on Twitter and otherwise. It's great.
And these were not young guys, by the way. They were like our age.
Our age, if not, you know, longer in the tooth.
Oh, no. Okay. All right. I'm going to get out of the way. Let's go ahead and do this thing.
All right, boys. Here's the interview.
I have no idea. I would never play it. What do you want, Dan? You said you were going to get food. This is technically Pawtucket anyway. It's not in Providence. That's what I thought. I was like, oh, cool. So where in Providence is it? And these guys tell me it's Pawtucket.
Next town over.
Yeah. So do I have to say Pawtucket?
Yeah. I don't really know. What's the...
Is Pawtucket like one of those places, like, you know how there's like a dozen towns outside of Boston? And that's what I assumed, but if you're in Austin, you just say Boston.
Right.
If you're in Cambridge, you say Boston.
So maybe people from Pawtucket say, like,
I don't think anyone's offended from Pawtucket.
From Pawtucket.
Like, it's not like Springfield, Shelbyville sort of. Oh, yeah, okay.
No, okay.
There's no lemon tree.
There might be some beets somewhere.
I don't know. Is that
that's
actually
Shelby,
is Rhode Island really like possessive over their clams?
I don't think
and,
so.
Wait, what are they
not
called?
Not up
cohogs.
Yeah, not up here. Yeah. You go down to like Narragansett.
Yeah,
they actually
have clam fights.
Yeah,
yeah. Trying to save
who has the biggest clam.
Well, it's
Rhode Island has its own clam.
Who in Rhode Island has the biggest clam?
There's Manhattan clam chowder, which is red. Yeah. There's New England clam chowder, which is white, and then Rhode Island is like clear.
And I don't eat seafood, I don't know why I know this, but
what?
Yeah, it's like a broth. Like soup. And that's why no one likes Rhode Island.
Yeah,
well, that makes a lot of sense. Okay. Are you guys from around here?
You're from Providence.
I am now. I grew up in New Jersey.
Oh, okay.
But I went to college in University of Rhode Island.
Yeah.
Met my girlfriend. And
yeah.
Rhode Islanders never leave, so I come to her.
Is that really the...
Yeah, they never
leave. My sister went to Johnson, Wales. She makes a bunch of pastries.
Yeah, that's... Providence is a lot of...
Yeah, no.
Restaurants are good.
No,
yeah, they are very good. We went to this metal-themed wing bar. Boneheads?
Boneheads, yeah. And like,
I was waiting for the name.
All the
you guys gotta go before you leave.
Yeah, all like, the sauces are made after like metal songs. And they got posters on the walls.
It's not like I'm a big baby and I can't eat like spicy. Yeah, it's spicy. Like,
is it?
There's stuff where like, oh, this is a little spicy. It's like spicy.
I can do spicy. Like, I like spicy things. Casey, guitar player, is... He will go, like, for the hottest wing.
Oh, he should. They got hot stuff.
Yeah, and he'll be like... and he'll be shitting his pants all night.
Yeah.
It's not hot, guys. I just have, like, a bug.
I just naturally sweat.
Yeah, I just have a stomach bug.
No, definitely check it out, Boneheads. See, it's like a big skeleton chicken for like the logo.
That's sick.
Yeah, take that shit seriously.
And Fall River, too, they have a place.
Is that another one?
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm, I don't know what we're doing. I drove my car here because I have to drive back to Connecticut after I live in Connecticut. They all, after the Boston show, they're all going home and I'm driving back to Connecticut.
What area of Connecticut you live in?
The Stamford area, Norwalk.
The home of WWE.
Yeah,
nice.
Yeah. I do a bunch of work in TV. My fiance works for NBC Sports. So we're like...
You're near everything.
Yeah. I work in the city a lot.
Yeah. I mean, you have to be close to do all that stuff.
And I locked out because she got the job there. And then since I moved back there, I used to do a lot of stuff for SNY and the Met.
Mets.
Okay.
And Islanders and all the New York sports. So I went back. Like, work came back. You know, and I was like,
It seems to be like the go-to job for a lot of metal musicians.
Yeah, metal musicians. So,
work in AV, especially in New York. Like, live in Brooklyn, live in Harlem with two or three other people.
I'm very lucky. We live in Norwalk. It's an hour from the city.
You're in
I do off-hour stuff, and I do... It's all, like, broadcast. Like, I've been doing... Have you guys seen the Oculus Go's?
I know the Oculus Rift.
Yeah, it's like a phone-less PC of this version. And there's a commercial where they show, like, the people sitting ringside, and they're, like, you know... Like, not ringside, court side of a basketball game, and they're watching the game, and that's, like, what I broadcast. I work with them. And so it's pretty cool. We just do, like, VR bullshit, which is...
That's pretty rad.
I hate sports, but...
Yeah. It pays for the good thing about working in sports but not doing sports is that it's not going to go anywhere.
There's, like, two things that aren't going to go anywhere.
Yeah.
Sports and boobs.
And especially New York sports, Yankees aren't going anywhere, Rangers aren't going anywhere.
Yeah,
so.
Mets. Baseball, certainly. I don't know about, like, contact sports.
Yeah.
How long we have to go with those, so, like, the brain damage stuff
much. There's money in it. It's not going to go.
That's right.
Yeah.
They make so much money. Like,
just add money.
Ethics doesn't matter as long as there's money to
Yeah, just scramble your
brain. There you go.
Yeah,
we're just killing these guys young for our entertainment. Like, it's just like modern gladiators.
Yeah.
Everyone we've interviewed so far has been in a really loud place, and they've been very loud.
Yeah. So all right, so I'll try to project a little more.
That's how we do. All
right, we'll get it started.
So probably, yeah, we'll give you some real questions.
All right, I'm ready.
In a second.
What are your thoughts on these guys?
Is this one of the local bands?
Yeah.
They sound like a local band.
Yeah.
But that's okay.
All
bands
like
have
stuff.
To start somewhere.
What do we have here? Kind of reminds me of Iron Reagan-y.
Yeah. Thrashy, a little power violence-y, a little hardcore-y. Yeah.
When you think of power violence, like, who is the one man?
Drop Dead.
Drop Dead?
They're from here.
Okay.
So that's why.
I'd go Locust.
Locust, yeah.
But I don't know if they're power violence, but...
Noise, power violence.
Yeah, but that's what I always associate with.
Yeah, I mean, that works. And I just think Drop Dead has been around for
30
years.
I feel like power violence is that one genre distinction that no one gets right. Like, or someone, no one agrees on
it.
So.
I think it takes different parts of different genres.
It's stupid, first of all.
It's a stupid thing. Yeah, it's like power metal, but just power violence.
Yeah.
Just angrier. And
I like power metal because at least you're like, You get it. But power violence is just like...
So, like, power metal, is that... Are you going, like, Manowar?
Yeah.
Like, full on?
Yeah. Like, we're all aligned there, right?
Yeah.
Like, Iron Maiden?
Iron Maiden, of course,
Okay.
I get pretty dorky with it, though. Like, I'll do, like, the Blind Guardian bar for, you know,
No. We're on the same page. What is the other band?
Arion,
or...
I think it's... I know what you're trying to say. I think they're from Brazil, and they're pretty tight. Whoever they are, if a listener can let us know.
Sorry.
That's okay. I think it's just Aria.
Maybe.
Or something.
Nobody knows.
Angra?
No one knows. No, I don't know.
Okay, I thought it was Angra.
Okay.
So I'm wrong. So, someone
I hope this is a good start.
Yeah. Well, I guess we should do introductions now that we're about 15 minutes in. You're listening to the Toil of Hell radio show. With us, we have a very special guest, live and in person, Brett from Astronoid. How's it going, Brett?
I'm great. How are you guys?
Fabulous, man.
I'm pretty good. I think we're having a good time here.
They gave me a beer.
You only get one beer.
I offered multiple. You can have as many beers as you want.
No way.
As long as you leave some for us.
I've been savoring the flavor here. Yeah. This is the best one I've ever had.
It's an Narragansett, so it's beer in quotes.
Yeah.
It's mostly Rhode Island water.
It's all right.
But it's the local brew.
I feel like if you had to pick between Narragansett and PBR and Budweiser and all the like, this is the way.
All right, I'll allow it.
You will,
Yeah. I'm a Coors guy, like straight Coors.
Coors?
Yeah.
Tapping the Rockies?
Banquet, yeah.
So, like, no IPAs, none of that?
But, like, on tour, I don't care.
I'll
go with the Coors, you know.
A lot of metal bands now kind of have their own beers.
Yeah.
It's, like, the big thing now. It's either you have hot sauce or you have beer if you're in a band. What would you want your beer to be like? Lager?
I don't know. I feel like we just need to... It either has to be something that's going to knock you on the floor or something
Like, that'll make you so drunk you get the spins and you feel all airy.
So, like, absinthe. Or, astronaut absinthe.
Yes. So, something that'll take you into the clouds. Or something so weak
and, you buy a lot
and
of
lame
it.
that you buy a lot of it. Yeah.
I would say something that's really drinkable, but also really like a high alcohol content. You know? Like, a beer that's just... You can drink a lot of it because it goes down easy. You know,
like,
but it's hard hitting.
Like schnapps.
Yeah, that's how I feel about astronauts.
You're gonna make
you
an
guys,
astronaut. Schnapps.
You guys are very, you know, you're drinkable. You know, you're kind of this soft, nice melody, but it hits hard.
And it has a complex flavor.
That's right, man.
Okay, I like it.
Schlitzstrenoid.
That's it.
So, how's the tour been going so far? You've been headlining for a little while now, which we're kind of coming to the end of it.
Yeah. It's been great. So far, it's been awesome. Like, we've been really happy with the turnouts, and people have been, like, really receptive to the set list we're playing, and it's, like we sold out in New York last night.
Oh, wow.
It's awesome. And, wow. Like, I couldn't be... Yeah, we're loving it. It's great. It's the first time we've headlined in a really long time. I think since Air came out. So we've just been doing support tours, so we're like, what the hell are we doing? What are we worth? Go play some shows and see what happens. So it's only 10 days, but they've been great.
So when you're doing a headlining set versus opening up for another band, is it kind of a different approach or a different attitude towards playing?
Yeah, I would say so. It's kind of like an inadvertent different attitude. Like, you're going into the bigger bigger support tours, and we're going to win people over at those. We have a half hour, 45 minutes max. We just gotta bang it out, you know, just play everything as fast as we can, and just really just, you know, make a first impression to these people. And then on our headlining ones, it's more like, okay, these are people who know our stuff in and out, and we have to cater to that. So, like, we can play more stuff, like more deep cuts, and you know, stuff that we would, like, absolutely never play, like, in front of, like, for in a 30-minute set. Like, 30-minute set is, like, greatest hits.
Yeah.
You know, you gotta do all those. So it's just a different approach in terms of that, and it naturally comes out on stage of how we approach it and how we act and carry ourselves.
Does that cut into, like, merchandising? Or are you like, okay, let's bring more shirts because we know the fans are coming to this one?
Kinda.
Yeah.
It's really hard to figure that stuff out as a young band.
I can imagine.
We just bring...
Like, bring what you have.
Yeah, we're really lucky to have someone working for our management company that, like, only focuses on merch. And she does a really, really amazing job, like, guessing what we're going to need so we don't overbuy. And, you know, she works for bands that are much bigger than us. And, you know, it shows. You know, she does a really great job.
Yeah.
So we don't want option paralysis, you know, when you're at the merch table. So it's like we try to keep it limited to what we think, you know,
yeah.
people
I mean,
would like.
I've seen some bands that have 20 different shirts and vinyl
and
all
buy
this
nothing.
Stuff, and people buy nothing.
Yeah.
And then you have some bands that have one T-shirt, one size left, and people buy it regardless because they want something.
A crop top.
Yeah, so they get, you get a medium even though you're an XL because you just want something from the band.
I'll just tie it in the front.
Yeah, so it's difficult to kind of figure out what you need, and you don't want too much. You don't want something boxes sitting in your garage for years.
No. It's for especially for a younger band like us, like, we can't waste any money, you know, so.
In the past, you've opened for Between the Buried and Me, Tesseract, as well as Ghost.
Mm-hmm.
The way the band sounds, it's kind of, like, always straddled, kind of metal and other subgenres, whatever you want to call it. Do you have any preference for playing with bands, like, leaning more towards metal or leaning more towards other?
I don't think so. I think, like you said, all of our influences are just kind of tossed in anyways. I would consider us, like, partly a metal band, but we're not a metal band. Like, I'm not going to go up to Mayhem and argue with them, you know, that we're metal, too.
You don't want to talk to them anyway.
No, you know, it's just, I'm not, like, we know our place, and we know who we are, and we know what we're trying to do, and, you know, sometimes I feel like that gets misconstrued in us being like, yeah, we're a black metal band. It's like, no, we're a band that likes black metal.
Mm-hmm.
We're a band that likes other bands. You know, we love prog and rock and
dream pop and everything. So I really have no preference in who we play with, and I feel like every tour we've done, we've had a set list that is perfectly tailored to the audience and the crowd. Like, we played with Zeal and Ardor, and we played all of Stargazer. Like, it was perfect. Mm-hmm. You know, a more black metal-esque side of us. And then for the Between the Baron and Me and Tesseract stuff, we pulled out more proggy stuff and stuff from the new album, and it worked really well and felt really good. So I've never felt uncomfortable on a tour with a set list.
Does the moniker that was given to you by your label, Dream Thrash, how does that sit with you?
I don't care.
Makes no difference?
Who cares? You know, it's as long as it's not, like, dream, blackened dream, crust, metal, gaze. I don't care.
Like that.
We have too
many. Yeah, well, it's too much.
We have too many subgenres within the greater heavy music realm.
I think Dream Thrash gets the point across. Like, but you say that to anyone, and they're like, what the hell is that still? Yeah. And even for us, it's just like, what the hell is that? So whatever. Whatever you want to call us is fine. Like, I don't care.
I feel like if you're such a band that they have to invent something to call you, they could just call you your band name. You know?
Yeah. And I think it's a good problem to have. Like,
I think
it's nice that you can't just put a blanket label on it and be like, yeah, that's what it is. So I think that's cool. But it doesn't really matter to me. You know, I think if you boil it all down, we're just a progressive rock band. You know, we love playing with meter and time signatures and doing weirdo stuff. And we also love to package that in a way that is easy to swallow, that when it does expand or take it apart, you're like, hey, that's a bar of 11/8 tossed into, like, a bunch of bars of 4/4 and 5/4. So it's like, you can pull that stuff out of it. Mm-hmm. But on the surface level, you're just like, oh, okay. It's just going, you know, so, I don't know, whatever you want to call us, you can do it.
So doing the expansion of your sound, does that include maybe incorporating different instruments, a theremin or a stick at some point?
If it serves the music, then whatever is possible. Like, we put some synthesizers on this record, and I thought that was cool, and I thought that sat well, especially with the vibe of the newer album. It's, I feel a bit more somber, and like, it's obviously a little more slower paced than Air. Taking a step back from that and just sort of, you know, creating something that we could, you know, that represented how we felt and, you know, our lives at the time of writing it and recording it. So it's we'll play with whatever, you know. It's like, who knows? There might be all screaming on the next record.
Do you think that's...
Probably not.
Sorry, do you think that's that notion that, you know, let's take a step back and just show people who we really are, was that kind of put into play in deciding to just name the album, like, the self-titled thing?
Yeah.
Yeah.
We wanted to kind of just... The record's different than Air, obviously.
For sure.
I wanted to make sure that we didn't do Air 2, because I feel like it was a lose-lose situation. We do Air 2 when everyone calls us out for doing Air 2. We do something new. It's not like Air. So you're kind of boned either way.
Yeah. At the end of the day, you have to do what you want to do.
Yeah, and we did. And I feel really good about it. And I think that the path that we took and the songs that we wrote gave us a really good dynamic for our live set. We have more slower songs to choose from. And they weren't written slow deliberately. You know, they're just like, oh, this is just what we were
just what
vibing.
We're yeah.
And I personally think that a lot of this stuff is more complex than Air. You know, maybe on first listen, for an outsider, it's not like that. But for us, it's you know, it feels a lot more deep.
Well, I think when Air first came out, it kind of blew everybody away. Like, it was on so many 2016 end of year lists. Like, it was just this huge breath of fresh, I don't know, some word, right?
Yeah. Dude, not only that, we fucked you up so bad, because now Breathe is a song.
Yeah.
And Air is
a song.
I
was gonna get to that.
So you're just I've ruined every statement.
There's no pun you can make.
Yeah.
But
cough.
Yeah. It's the
yeah,
next
so
album.
I'm sure with, like, the really big wave of positive reaction with that first debut LP, I mean, there might have been a lot of pressure. Did you feel any pressure with making this next one to follow it up?
Yeah. Yeah. Absolutely. I couldn't, the record's like basically about that. Like, me trying to tackle that, you know, I'm not, we're not Metallica. Like, we're not under the microscope of that many people, but enough. Like, we wrote Air in a Vacuum, and it was just like, we did it for fun, and we did it for us, and then, you know, it, what happened with it is what happened with it. But with this one, it's just like, there are expectations now.
Yeah.
And there's no way you can cater to everyone, you know, and, like, there are songs on the record that reflect my feelings on that, and you can't please everybody. And a lot of that energy went into these songs that were just trash, and because I was trying to outdo Air, and they were just like, yeah, okay, they're faster and the riffs are there, but like, there's no substance to this, and it's just shallow. And it's, like, if you guys heard it, it would just be, you could hear it, you could be like, this sounds forced, you know, and it just wasn't right. And then it had no emotional depth. I'm repeating myself in different ways. So, but yeah, it's just, so once I figured out that I was doing that, I like scrapped everything. You know, I was probably like 5 or 6 songs, and we got what we got. And like, you know, once I started writing for me and took that path, it felt a lot better, and I was very happy with how everything came out.
I'm relatively new to the band. I mean, I was aware of you guys when Air came out and listened and enjoyed it, but on the new album, My Dream in Lines, like, really reached out to me and like caught my eye and caught my ears and, you know, made me feel something. I was just kind of like wondering like what the background on that song is.
It's kind of weird. My fiance is an artist. She just likes to draw and do all this stuff, and like, I'm not very good at that.
My wife's the same way. She's drawing.
Yeah, I'm not a visual artist. I like to doodle. I draw incredible cartoons, but doodles, you know, they're doodles. Mm-hmm. But I was just thinking in the eyes of like what is it like? What is it like to have that eye and be able to look at a table and just transfer that to paper? Just like, you know, we can hear a riff and play it. Like, I can figure out stuff by ear. So how can an artist look at that table, dimensionally put it on a piece of paper where it represents those dimensions? So it kind of went from there, and then a bunch of other things were swirled into that of, you know, just like I said, just things in life and things that were happening for me and our bass player and just the album, and sort of like took it, like taken away that idea of like an artist and being an artist and what that means, good and bad. So it's a lot of themes on the record are that, of just questioning yourself and making sure you're doing the right things for the right reasons.
Is it difficult to revisit those feelings on a daily basis and, you know, pour your heart out in front of strangers every night?
I would say most of it is, because most of it is positive. Like, I would say there are a lot of negative themes on the album, and same with Air. But they're represented in a positive light of, like, it could get better, and it will get better, or it's me coping with it and then getting over it. So, like, you know, I would say, like, a song like Fault is me tackling that, like, can't please everybody type mentality. So it's just, like, there it is every night. I get to sing it, and what's fucking cool is, like, this is like the chorus is like, this is what I've been wishing for, and it's like, yeah, I get to do it every night and play and do it, and you know, it's cool. So it's amazing that I can do that every night.
And you have people singing it back to you.
Yeah, which is even cooler, you know.
And they feel something, maybe not the same thing you felt when you came up with it, but
yeah.
You're reaching people.
Yeah, but a lot of the stuff is very positive, and it's actually interesting. Tonight is my fiance's bachelorette party is coming to the show tonight.
Congratulations, by the way.
Thank you. No, we're getting married right when we get home, pretty much.
Wow.
Yeah, in July. So they're coming tonight, and Up and Adam was like written about her, and not being able to like obtain, like, you know, mm-hmm. I just had like a crush on her. And I was like, this is never gonna happen. Like, that song kind of poured out in that.
Cute.
And yeah, I've never told anybody this, but so it's really cool that she's gonna be here. We're getting married.
That's
great. And it's all there. You know, it's like the whole song is about how, yeah, this is never gonna happen, but whatever.
So now you have to do a follow-up for the wedding.
The follow-up's already there. It's already on Astronaut.
Well, you walk down the aisle playing.
Oh, dude. Just, I don't even want music at my wedding. You know? It's just like, that's one of those things. It's like, I try to separate as much as possible. She's like, oh, maybe we should get like a nice guitar for the wedding. I was like, no.
Just, you know, it's 5 minutes.
Yeah,
we're done.
No, it's like, we don't need to bring Astronoid into the wedding because Astronoid already brings me apart from you enough. I don't need you don't need that cross pollination.
Yeah, they're not. It's personal and then professional.
And she couldn't be more supportive of it. She is like, you know, any doubt where I'm like, what am I doing with my life? She's like, no, you gotta do it. I'm like, all right,
that's great. That makes all the difference in the world.
If you gotta have someone that is supportive in this.
You have that voice in your head all the time. You need that other voice telling it to shut up.
Yeah, especially with those asshole internet people telling me.
We don't know anything about that.
No
one does.
Yeah.
Are there any websites you specifically avoid?
No, I read them all. I know everything that you guys say.
Do you ever search yourself for, you know, if you ever want to like feel down on yourself and find out what people say? Or
I don't do it personally. When the record first came out, I was just like, I read every review.
You need to know.
You can't not. Yeah. It's like, you know, and it's actually something I have to get better at not doing.
Yeah, I mean, I'm going through that right now.
Yeah.
So I get it. So you want to know, but then when you find out sometimes, you're just like, why did I do that?
Don't go
now,
yourself.
Now I'm mad in my own home.
I got a wiki now, which is weird.
Uh-oh.
So it's like half right.
There's like the segment on one of those sites, Loudwire, I think, Wikipedia fact or fiction.
Yeah.
Is there anything on Wikipedia that you know is wrong and is up there on you?
Off the top of my head, I don't think so. There's stuff wrong, but it's like minute things, like timeline stuff and like how the band got put together is wrong and like stuff like that.
For sure.
Album credits are always wrong.
So as far as the band getting together, I was just watching a couple interviews with you guys, and I think it was in 2018. You had brought up with, it might have been like Heavy New York or something.
Mm-hmm.
I can't remember the site. But you had said something about how one of the big reasons that Astronoid all together is so different and works so well together is all of you guys were kind of outliers of the respective bands that you were in before. Do you feel like there's any kind of better example as far as like maybe a moment or something about that scene or that band or whatever that just kind of made you feel like, you know, this isn't really my thing. I should probably kind of break out and make something really cool and interesting for myself.
I don't think there was ever a thought like that direct of being like, oh, it's time to do something else. Specifically, I just remember listening to a lot of Yaesu and Isis and Cult of Luna. And the band I was in at the time was called Hetfield and Hetfield. And it was like a super fast, like Fallotroid, Dillinger, Coheed, just mash up, and I just needed to write something simple. I think, you know, and that's, I wrote November, and it's like, I think, three chords, and I was like, oh, you can write songs without 10,000 notes.
The best songs are three chords, you know?
They were
for the Beatles.
Yeah. You know, it's, so the whole, like, if I were to boil Astronoid down to, like, a single point, it's, like, simple, like, simplicity, and getting ideas out, you know, sometimes less is more, and that's especially what we tried to do with Astronoid, like self-titled.
Like be a bit more of a songwriter than say a guitar player kind of thing.
Yeah, like it's all about, it's not like, it's not about any single instrument, it's all about the overall, like servicing the emotion or the idea of the song. That comes first. Like, I don't care how fucking sick the riff is. You know, or it's like, if it doesn't make sense in the song, we're going to cut it. Like, that was the whole
thing. I wish a lot of bands felt the way you did, unfortunately.
Yeah, I felt that way about Air after. It was like, I wouldn't change a thing about Air at this point.
I wouldn't either. It's a good album.
Thank you. No, but it's like, after playing those songs for so long, it's just like, some of the parts go on, and like, that record just, from front to back, doesn't stop. It's like, zero to a billion miles an hour till the end, and like we felt it when we played it live. So when we were approaching the next one, it's like, all right, let's try to like give this next one an arc and give it like each song has an arc and every song has an arc and music has an arc. Like, let's give this album an arc instead of just like giving it the Death Magnetic mastering waveform of like 1 billion. So, yeah, we approached this record as an up and down thing, and I feel like we nailed it. Like, there's a lot of ups and downs, and songs that bring you down, and like lost, and then songs that bring you back up, like I Wish I Was There, and the whole record kind of has this slow vibe, you know, and it's like a journey. At least that's how I feel when I listen to it.
I wouldn't disagree, you know. I think that's a great answer.
So I like to ask this of everyone that we have on the show that can actually sing and not just yell. When did you know that you could sing?
I still don't know. Still not sure. No, it was probably that, like, just screwing around with the Yaesu, like, type vocal thing, and, like, really starting to work on Astronaut. I always did background vocals in the other band, and Casey sang in the other band. So I always did background vocals while I was drumming, because I played drums in that band, and I just kind of started it, and I don't know, somehow it's just, like, I feel like I got stuck singing.
Does that mean that singing is the only vocal plan for Astronaut, or would you consider trying other things?
I don't want to scream. I've done it. I used to do it. It's a little screaming on Stargazer, like, tucked in the background. I just don't enjoy doing it. And I feel like that there are better ways to convey emotion, especially anger. Like, it doesn't have to be screamed. And if it fits a song, it serves a song. Like, I remember working on Ideal World and being like, the song could have screams, and it would make sense. And I think it would make sense to ourselves and our listeners, but it didn't end up that way. It just didn't work. I'm very happy with the vocal melody that's in that song. But nothing's off the table. But I just like the vibe of the vocals, and especially for our band, I feel like they're not as in your face as other things. Like, we mixed it up a little bit higher on this record, but I still feel like that it's a part of, like, the overall aesthetic of the music. So,
well, I think if you put in screams or growls or whatever, it's a different band entirely.
And yeah,
I think it becomes more of like what else is already out there.
Kind yeah,
of loses what's special about Astronaut, I think.
Yeah, it's. I don't like to think of it that way, because then it would limit us. But you are right. Like, if we screamed, it would just be like, I feel like it would be a cop out.
Yeah, I feel like that's what initially made the ears perk up.
Yeah.
On air for everybody was like, oh, what's this? It's not screaming all day,
screaming
every day.
Yeah.
I mean, how many metalcore bands are out there?
Yeah. Right.
That just sound the same,
yeah,
because they do the same
any genre.
And yeah, you know, we're not, especially now, like, we are not trying to be that type of band. I would definitely put ourselves more in the prog space rather than the, like, black metal or thrash space. We just pull influences from there, and we like fast music, so it's like it's inevitably going to be there.
Yeah.
But like, I'd rather sit in our own little pocket rather than to, you know, label ourselves or do something that will push us back into metal. Because, like, the debate is already furious. We don't need to fuel any fire as if we're a metal band or not.
Mm-hmm.
So we're not. We're not a metal band. Ends the argument.
So you're not going to be playing second on Summer Slaughter.
So we should just leave, right?
Yeah. If you're metal fans only, then you can leave.
Get out.
You know, yeah, equal opportunity band. Anything goes.
So yodeling on the next record.
Whatever, man. Whatever works.
So you have Air. You had a song called Water.
Yeah.
Are we getting Earth and Fire next?
No. It's actually called Water because people thought it was going to be called Water.
I mean, if you have...
It's almost a joke on the joke.
So if you put Heart in there, you could have Captain Planet.
Oh, yeah. Maybe we will.
Concept album.
We've thought about it. Someone came up to me and was like, the next album going to be Water? I was like, It's like, we're naming that song Water, guys. You know? That's literally the joke. But, like, kind of tossing it back. In a way. Because we're not going to... I'm not doing that.
See, that's
right. Also why it's called Astronaut. Breaks any convention that we could go with. It's like, this is it. This is who we are. We're going to do what we want, whether it's whether you like it or not. You know? So if we want to make a slower, vibey record, we'll do it. And, you know, I just don't want to be pigeonholed. Like, it's not how we are, and it's not what I want to be, and I don't want to be a certain band expected to do certain things. And I'm really happy with the record we did, because it's sort of like, it's like, what the hell are they doing? And then also it's like, well, it's going to be next. Are they going to go slower? Are they going to go faster?
Yeah, it's liberating in a way.
Yes, it is.
You know, the handcuffs are off. You are free to move about it.
The handcuffs were off with air. And then they tried to be put on. And we're like, no, no, no.
These don't fit good. I can't
no,
wear
them. They're very, they're I have very small wrists.
I mean, it even helps you not just musically, but even label-wise. You see a lot of these metal bands bounce from Century Media to Nuclear Blast to Metal Blade. And with you guys, you don't have to rely on two or three places.
I don't want to be in anything. We've never been in a scene. Like, we're always playing with death metal bands. We're always playing with weird bar rock bands. Like, we never had a home, and now we don't want one. So leave us alone.
That's the way to be. That's the smartest thing I've ever heard.
We like our fan. Yeah. We don't need a home. So we like it. We'll play with anyone.
Wherever I May Run by Metallica is playing in my head.
Great album.
Yeah.
But I don't care who doesn't like the Black Album. It's wrong.
They're wrong. It's true. Yeah. It's just a good album.
I think it's just like having a hard time coming to terms with it's okay to like the Black Album.
It's okay to like any album from Metallica.
Yeah. It's okay to like any album. It's okay to like any album, to be real. Like,
yeah.
There's no such thing as a guilty pleasure.
Yeah, I think we're beyond guilty pleasure at this point.
Yeah, especially at this point in our lives. It's
Well, you like what you like, and that's it.
Yeah, I mean, everyone's come around to ICP pretty much, and just be like, you're over there, that's cool, you're not bothering anyone.
No.
So I think metal can learn a lot about that.
Yeah.
ICP specifically.
So once the store is done, once the wedding is done,
mm-hmm.
what's next?
I don't know what's next.
Hit the road again, record, write?
I'm always writing. We're doing Exit 111 and wherever the heck that is in Tennessee. And that's going to be great because it's like Ghost and Def Leppard and Power Trip and Alien Weaponry. Is that right?
From New Zealand?
Yeah.
Mayori metal band?
Yeah. We're playing the best day. It's going to be great. And then we're going to Europe with Periphery and Pliny, which is also going to be great. It's our first time there. And we've toured with both bands, and they're both very, you know, pleasant to be around, and that's going to be a lot of fun. And I don't know. That's kind of it. We're just kind of doing our thing this year, and I'm going to go home, and I'm going to write. Got some other stuff I'm working on, and who knows if it'll ever come out, but certainly not what you think it is.
Maybe you can use those, like, six Asteroid songs you didn't want to use.
Nah. You don't want to hear me.
And just just put some horrible name on it and just, like, wear a black mask and no one will be an analyzer.
It's weird because I put myself in a hole where I feel like if I do something else and I sing...
Yeah, you're screwed. You're caught.
You know what I mean? It's going to be like, oh, this is Astronaut. Like, no matter what. Because we're already like, what the hell are we doing? So if I just sing over anything, it's like Astronaut. So I'm like, what do I do now?
I think there's enough audio tricks you could do. Yeah. Where you can throw people off with pitch shifting or layering or something like that.
Also, it'd be really cool if you were to do, like, guest vocals on bands that usually scream. Like, here's Brett from Astronaut.
Yeah.
Doing this really cool singing part.
I did that on the Perturbator album.
Oh, really?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, I gotta check that out.
Yeah, it's, whatever his last one was. It was cool. It's labeled as Astronaut, because no one knows my name. And that's fine. It was, like, right around when Air came out, or right before Air came
out.
The
Astronaut guy. Credited.
Yeah, it's fine. I stole a funny story. We played with Ghost.
Mm-hmm.
We played the Fillmore. It was sold out. 3,000 people played, or 3,000 people were there. And we go outside, biggest show we ever played, and we go into the van, and these people stop us. It's me and Casey and Mike at the time. And they're like, hey, like, we love you guys. Can we get a picture? And they're like, yeah, absolutely. So, like, we start walking over, and they look at me, and they're like, no, just the guys in the band. And I was like, all right, cool. And I love it. Like, it's fine. It's like, I'm good. Like,
I'll get a picture with you, but
I don't need the attention, and I appreciate it. So whoever does know who I am.
Did they at least know the other guys were Ashnar?
Yes.
They didn't think they were the nameless fools.
Oh, no. They definitely knew they were. Casey's hair is on record. Like, you cannot.
Yeah, can't miss that guy's it. Hair is gorgeous. Yeah. There's no way around
it. But me, like, I had my hair up. I had my glasses on. I did everything. Like,
you were Clark Kent.
Yes. Yeah. There was actually, like, the LA Times wrote something about us, and they said, that like the singer's
they
like
Clark Kent.
Yeah, like the wow. singer's like Clark Kent. He was up there, he had a bun or whatever, and he has hair up and glasses, and he took it off, and I was just like, who the hell is that? So it was pretty funny.
It's the perception of metal.
It's all right. It's not about that for me. It's just about playing and having fun, and you know, playing music that means a lot to me and other people. So if people recognize me, power to me and power to them. You know, it's cool. I'm fine with it.
Well, you have that anonymity just in case.
Yeah, it's funny. I think it's funny.
So, anything else before we go you want to tell us about? Or
I don't know, man. I don't think so. I don't know. I got nothing. Anything that I don't know. I haven't. What have I been listening to? Anything good?
You mentioned you like black metal. What are some go-to bands?
Black metal bands? It's the ones that you know. It's like Emperor and Immortal and all that
the
stuff.
Usual.
Yeah, it's the usual
the
ones.
That's how it goes.
The hits. I've been listening to a lot of like Outer Heaven and what else? I really like the new Pig Destroyer album from last year. The new Dinosaur Pileup album is really good. The like rock band from the UK. The new Silver Sun Pickups I really like. I'm just trying to blast out all this stuff. The new Frankie Rose is really good. For those Dream Pop fans of Toilet of Hell, Gadget. I don't know. I'm all over the place. Lots of death metal and like what is it? I'm not gonna remember. I don't know that type of stuff. Full of Hell. The new Full of Hell is really good.
Yeah. Baby metal.
No baby metal.
That's a bridge too far.
Yeah, I don't know. I really like Japanese culture and all that stuff, but
just not J-pop.
Just too much for me. Like. Just a few years ago, I've gotten around to playing JRPGs. Like, Ni No Kuni just really got me there. I think I cried, like, 3 times in that game. It's a very sad game. I don't know if you've played it.
I'm not much into the RPG. I'm more into a little bit sports, a little bit shooter.
Okay. That's cool. Yeah, it's about this little boy who loses his mother and goes to look for her in another dimension. And it's, like, it's just really, like, that's yeah, all right. It's Studio Ghibli. It was made by them. So if you understand that.
Yeah.
So it was a really sad game. It was really good. But that got me into the whole JRPG thing. But baby metal hasn't happened yet. Maybe.
You have JRPG. Do you do dating sims?
No. I did do... There's this one game called Doki Doki Literature Club. And those who have not played it, it is the most horrifying game I've ever played
I've
in my life.
I've heard of that, yeah.
And it starts as a dating simulator. And then it just...
Just gets
more
fucked
it
up.
Gets so fucked up. Like, have you guys seen what's the Takeshi Miike audition?
Audition. Okay.
I haven't
seen
Audition.
So I have not seen it. I know of it.
If you know of it, if you know the level of like, it gets like, it's not torture fucked up, but it is like, it's like, what the fuck is this out of nowhere? And it's free. So play it.
Like Mermaid in a Manhole type, we're getting real.
Oh, I don't even know what that is.
Yeah, that's in this, I forget who did it, but there's like, I think 90s, in the early 2000s, like Japanese sort of horror movies.
Yeah.
It's like body horror. I think a man finds a mermaid in the sewer and takes her home, and he like keeps her in the bathtub, and she starts changing and stuff like that. It's kind of in the same
It's something
weird
I need to
vein.
See.
Yeah.
Okay.
I think it was pretty good. Gozu?
Same director.
Yeah.
I actually were just talking about that. I didn't finish it. For whatever reason. It didn't get to the point where it, like, you know, happened, whatever it happens in his movies.
Yeah.
Like, the moment. But I gotta revisit that. But, it's weird that this came up, but Doki Doki Literature Club is, like, if you're just looking to ruin your day...
Usually, yeah.
Yeah, it's free on... Steam and like a bunch of other stuff.
It's probably the sickest rap we've ever got at the end of an interview. Just like messed up Japanese people.
Yeah, that's exactly. Certainly one. And I love horror stuff, but like I didn't finish it.
Have you seen Begotten?
No.
That's a lot of people consider it like a black metal horror movie almost. It's by the guy who did that vampire movie with Willem Dafoe as Max Schreck as the vampire. And anyway, it's on YouTube for free. It's all black and white.
Begotten?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And
I wonder if Matt's seen it.
It's kind of like an artsy, almost horror movie.
Yeah.
I think it's God Falls to Earth.
Yeah.
And that's kind of the concept. And the way it's shot is it's not just filmed. It's each second is one shot of film and stopped. So everything's
awkward.
So it's like
awkward. David Lynch, like that really strange
You're looking
effect.
At people moving, but it's not quite right.
It's,
like they did something to saturate in a way that it's black and white by hand every single
It's day. Like the one, did you guys watch the newest Twin Peaks?
The first couple episodes.
Okay, so there's an episode later in, I think it's like 9 or 8, and it's just like the end of 2001 for an hour. You know, it's just like he does that really like awesome stutter, like, and it's so uncomfortable. And it's so great. It's like it's a standalone piece of art. Like that one episode, you could watch it in a vacuum and just be like, "What the fuck is this?"
Would you want to do a soundtrack for something like that?
I would love to do a soundtrack. I think that would be so much fun. I love trying new things and doing stuff that I've never done, and especially like I would love to just. Absorb whatever it's putting out and kind of regurgitate that. Mm-hmm. Regurgitate's a really strong word, but you know, put that into you know, a musical form. I think it's fun because that's kind of what I do with my life and my experiences. And I actually watch a lot of like just media when I'm writing. Like I'll watch a lot of, like, I was watching a lot of Twin Peaks when I was working on Astronoid. And I was watching a lot of Game of Thrones. So, yeah, the whole, like, Beyond the Scope is, like, based. Like, every time, I remember I finished watching, spoiler for all those Game of Thrones people who haven't watched it. There's a part where there's this huge explosion in the city. It's the Dragon's Breath, I think it's called. And I just went, like, right in the other room after and just started working on that song and just, like, just the eyes through the eyes of a tyrant, just like uncaring and just like completely just like, yeah, whatever, yeah, I don't care, it's whatever. And I just it was weird, you know. So I'm always just kind of regurgitating everything around me.
It's kind of amazing that you're able to do that.
It's like the inhale and exhale of creativity.
Yeah, it's like breathing, breathing.
It's like breathing something, some word I can't think of.
Yeah, maybe. So
Charles Randall says hi.
Yeah, he's a really good dude.
Spare your friends.
He's on a stay at his house many times, yeah. And he's over there in the you know the other realm.
Yeah, the hat of America.
Yeah, yeah, in Canada.
Yeah. And then the last question from Nathan. He's a good dude with a great podcast. Ask it. Yeah. What's your favorite Simpsons?
Is it recording?
It is.
Oh, okay. All right. My favorite Simpsons joke. I thought about this a lot. And it comes down... I really like... And I feel... This was a meme. But, like, it goes... I go way back with the Simpsons. But the whole, like, Terminator thing. And,
I know
the
exactly
the Ned.
He's got a 2 golf clubs.
Yeah, man. Gaming on the whole Neddy. Thing. And he's talking about going to the grandmother's house. I love that. And, I just... We watch that show, like, all the time. I just love that show. I love Homer the Max. He's like, I'm gonna choose the only name that you spelled right. He's like, Max Power. He's like, I got that off of the hair dryer. And then everyone laughs, but he's like, serious. This show is just gold.
I liked Grimes. Because Grimes was
Every time
grimy.
Oh, you know what? Grimes. That I think that might be my favorite Simpsons joke. Yeah. When they're in the cemetery, and then he calls him Grimes the whole episode. Everyone hate like he hates it the whole time. And then Lovejoy goes, we lay to rest Frank Grimes, or Grimy, as he liked to be called. You know, just like, just one more fucking, like, you know, twist in the knife.
Well, I think Grimes was great because he was, like, in Japanese culture, they have this theme called the straight man, where there's just one character who points out the absurdity as a regular person all the time.
Yeah.
And it's, like, insanely hilarious in Japanese people. But I thought Grimes was that guy. He was us being put in the Simpsons universe, just being like, how the hell do you still keep a job being such a moron? You know, like, I thought that was
great. Never thought about that.
That's deep.
That's amazing.
He's the straight man.
Huh.
So if you're watching an anime or a Japanese movie that's funny or something, see if you'll find who the straight man is.
It's like the author, like you said, like the viewer.
Yeah.
Going in and being like, this is bullshit.
What the fuck is this? Yeah.
Yeah, that can't happen. And when they're sitting on the couch and like it's a cartoon, and he's like, oh, cartoons can do whatever they want. And Homer walks by in the window. It's another good gag.
Yeah.
there's so many. I can't choose my favorite.
It's the subtle stuff.
That's the more we talk about it, yeah. The more we're going to.
It's been on the air for 3 decades.
Up yours, children. Yeah. Like, there's
I mean, we grew up with The Simpsons. The Simpsons raised us, our generation. Yeah. So you could pretty much go into any room and just start quoting The Simpsons, and most people will know what you're talking about.
I did a tour in Australia with another band, and they were my people. Like you can just say anything, and they know every Simpsons quote. They have Duff there, they have Duff beer. It's not very good, but regardless,
it's a Duff.
Yeah, the only place you can get Duff in the U.S. is if you go to Universal Studios.
Yeah,
and they have Duff that is brewed specifically for Universal, and they won't tell you where it's brewed.
Or that shitty energy drink from 7-Eleven.
Yeah, it doesn't count. It's not alcoholic. Yeah, but you can get. They have a Flaming Moe and Universal too.
Do they actually use cough syrup in it?
I doubt it. Probably not. But they do light on fire, and it is like on fire. But it was really cool. Like I went there, and I literally felt like I was like, oh.
Remember they had a competition years ago to win the Simpsons house? This was in the mid-90s at the latest. They built a house in Arizona that was the Simpsons house recreated 100%. And the person that won it, he was like, you can get the house or you can take the money. And the person took the money.
Fuck.
And they, painted over the house. And it's just a house. Like, you'd never know.
Oh, man. That's like spitting in cultural history's face. It's just wrong, man.
I get it. The Simpsons house doesn't exist, but...
it's still a house.
Was it in a Springfield?
I don't think so. I think it was just somewhere in Arizona.
Somewhere in Arizona.
There might be a Springfield in Arizona.
Isn't there a Springfield in every state?
I'm from the Springfield, Massachusetts kind of area.
Yeah.
I don't live in Springfield. I never would, but I'm in the general area. And everyone was like, it's got to be our Springfield because this animator was from there. And
the Kennedy references.
Yeah, and they had the, I guess we used to have a power plant or something. And so they said it was ours.
I think my favorite episode is Monorail.
Monorail's a good one.
Yeah.
Classic.
Monorail. And, I really Homer's enemy, and then what's the best friend of Ned? What is
Ned's
that one called?
Where he's best friends with Ned.
Yeah.
That one?
I forget what it's called though. Homer the Flanders.
Yeah.
Is it Homer the? Homer the Smithers. That's a good one.
That's
when he takes over.
Yeah.
Yeah, that whole one's good too. The joke with the cube, when Mr. Burns is sitting there on fire. When he's making the breakfast and the cereal catches on fire, that whole episode is just gold. See, this is why you can't. I regret. I'm sorry, guys. I'm just talking too much.
No, that's this is like your Simpsons answer is like a more warm, engaging, entertaining interview than we've had before.
So more we talk about it, the deeper it's gonna go, and the more I'm gonna remember stuff. So it's like
Homer at the bat episode.
Homer
with
the
softball team.
Great. There's just so many good ones.
All the Trios of Horrors.
If you... No one else can see this because they're not here. But, let's see if you get that one.
I can't barely see it. Oh, yeah. I see what it is. I am so Crunchy the Clam.
Oh.
We want Crunchy! When he's screaming it. And then when they're sitting at the... It's like, this place doesn't fit 3,000 people. It's like, there are 3,000 people in here, 32,000 people in here last night. Go on. The crowd's getting restless. We want Chili Willy.
When I was a little kid in the 90s, I had this, Simpsons soundtrack cassette tape that had, all the big Simpsons songs.
Oh, I just bought them.
Oh,
I bought all three CDs.
It wasn't the CD, because the CD had so much shit.
No,
that
I
tape
know,
was,
yeah.
12 songs.
Yeah.
That's all I could fit. And it was, Springfield, and all the Planet of the Apes songs were on it.
Yeah, that's why I bought it.
Yeah,
Dr. Zayas.
Yeah.
He can talk.
My God.
I can sing.
I was wrong. It was Earth all along.
That's what you need to do on stage.
Monkey out of me.
While everyone's tuning, you need to bust out of Dr. Zayas.
Yeah, when you're doing your sound check, you gotta...
Dr. Zayas. And then I also got it because Licorice Whip was on it.
Nice.
Smithers Licorice Whip. And, yeah, that whole... The film festival one, mm-hmm. That's another one. That's like... Mr. Burns movie.
Yeah.
The whole thing is just gold. And what
I was going to say was kind of, if you think about Disney movies, the villain songs are always the best ones, right? And I remember Mr. Burns had this amazing song where he was going on about all the different kinds of clothes he would make out of different
animals. See my vest.
Yeah, see my vest. Yeah. So
made of real gorilla chest.
Grizzly bear underwear.
It's unbelievable. The show in that era, I think it was like season three to season... I'll even give him 12. wow. Because Homer and Max, I think. Or is it 13? Someone will correct me, I'm sure.
you'll get a glasses push somewhere.
Yeah. Keyboard Warrior just flung it out of the sheath. I can't go... Yeah, this is the best show.
We'll just let it go then, man. I mean, this has been great. We got a lot of good stuff. I think the Simpsons stuff, we'll put it in there.
People will love that.
Oh, yeah.
The bonus Simpsons knowledge. Casey would have been in. Actually, all of us, we all play Simpsons trivia when we're home. The only one that we can't get, like, we usually can get everything because it's the fan-made edition, mm-hmm. and it's, like, pretty difficult because, like, the fans make the best questions. Yeah. I can't name all the kids, all of Apu's kids. Can't do it. I've never gotten it. It's the one, like, showstopper question.
Yeah.
That, like, all the school kids just saw their different...
No, all Apu's kids' names.
Oh, Apu's kids.
Yeah.
Oh.
I could probably name two.
I don't think I can name any.
I can...
Geek, because that was his wife's favorite. I know that.
Oh, see? That's a good way to remember it.
I think Jump Shed was his nephew.
Yeah, see, that doesn't count.
Yeah,
so
I know.
One.
I just start throwing out Indian names until I get one.
It's I've never gotten it.
Because I've only been in, like, two episodes anyway. And,
no, I know, but that's...
And your brain just goes blank when they start...
There's naming. A lot of questions in there where you're like, what? Like, what's Jasper's last name?
Beardsley.
Yeah, that's a good one. I feel like that's an easy one.
Duffman's real name.
Oh, God.
See, that's tough.
I'm already, like, out. I'm just... Like, I love The Simpsons, but apparently not enough.
I don't know Duffman's real... What is it?
I think either Sid or Larry, because I know he's talking to the guy who runs Duff, and he's just like, can it, Sid? You can it, Larry. They just briefly mention it. And he's also Jewish, I know that.
God, this show is so brilliant. It could not exist as it is now.
Yeah, you know. different writers,
yeah,
different times.
Man, different time. I haven't seen any of the newer ones, but...
Some are okay.
Yeah. But
I'd rather live in a world with bad Simpsons than no Simpsons. It wouldn't feel right.
Disney owns the Simpsons now.
They own Fox and owns Disney, but Disney's owned everything.
This might be bold. I think they should
end it. Just probably should at this point.
End it. Give me my streaming service. Even though I have them all on Plex.
FXX is essentially
Simpsons.
Yeah,
but I won't watch the commercials. I won't do it. It's like I will pay extra for Hulu Plus to not watch
commercials.
Yeah, I tried it without. It's horrible. Because it's one thing if you show me commercials, but don't show me the same two ad nauseum.
We were sitting,
no pun intended.
I forget what it was. We were watching The Walking Dead. And my fiance loves saving money, as we all do.
Sure.
But we were watching The Walking Dead, and I was like, we can just buy the season. And then, like, $30... We'll have it forever. Not that I'll ever watch it again, but it'll update, no commercials, 1080, whatever the hell it is, every time it's on. And she's like, let's just try it from the ABC streaming service. We got like 10 commercials 5 minutes in, and she was like, buy it right now. And we wasted our time watching The Walking Dead.
Yeah, we've become spoiled in one way, but we suffer in another because... Ads are everywhere else. You know, like, you can stream a TV show, but you can't watch some, like, weirdo on YouTube trying to do something horrible to himself without
an ad
every 2 seconds.
Yeah. Ads are everywhere. You can't escape it.
Yeah.
I try my best. I don't watch a ton of TV, but I get sucked in too easy.
Yeah.
So I stick to the ones I know. Simpsons, South Park, excuse me. You know, all that. The S's. Simpsons, South Park, SpongeBob. I'm a big SpongeBob guy.
Maybe we can do a whole other episode on
SpongeBob.
I'll just sit here nodding politely.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's okay. A little more our generation, I think.
If you missed it, it's fine.
Yeah, not my thing.
Yeah, it's okay. I feel like it's the next evolution of dumb humor. It's under there. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? It's like a lot of it is just stupid kid stuff, but there is some adult stuff. Yeah, it's good.
One thing I don't appreciate though is how SpongeBob has kind of been co-opted into meme culture. Because I feel like internet memes should be things that weren't supposed to be funny, twisted to be funny. But SpongeBob is absurd in comedy and funny. Like, and you can't, like, you're doing minimal twists to make it more funny.
That's true.
It's a cop out.
But there's a lot of good GIFs that explain everything. Like, a SpongeBob GIF that I would like. Mm-hmm. Or, you know, in normal conversation.
For sure. Yeah.
So, not meme, but maybe GIF. GIF.
That's different.
Yeah.
That's
okay.
Different. GIFs aren't memes. We gotta make sure people.
New T-shirt.
All right.
Astronaut. GIFs aren't memes.
GIFs aren't memes. And we need to make sure, like,
SpongeBob face.
You have the pronunciation of GIF proper, like however
GIF,
it's written
GIF,
out.
Yeah.
All right, man. It's been a pleasure.
All right. The band started.
Yeah. Thank you.
Bye. is Brett from Ashnoid, and you're listening to the Toilet of Hell radio show.
Nice.
That's fucking great.